Good afternoon, everyone. So good to be able to worship with you today. You know, I was driving here from Seattle and it was raining like crazy. Traffic was terrible, but when I stepped in here, it just felt so good. I'm so glad to be here to worship with you today. Two Sundays ago, the Christian community around the world celebrated a very important holiday called Pentecost. Now, this event was recorded for us in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit came some 2,000 years ago and gave birth to the church, and the world has never been the same. Now, the Chinese translation for the book of Acts literally means a record of what the apostles did, right? What the apostles did. However, biblical scholars, they are quick to point out that actually the book of Acts is not a record of what the apostles did, but a record of what the Holy Spirit did. What the Holy Spirit did through the disciples. See, the book of Acts, it's a story of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, the focus is not on man, but on the Holy Spirit. And so today, I want to draw your attention to a particular church in the book of Acts. There are many churches. There are many churches, but this one that we're going to talk about today is different. This one is very unique. It's a Spirit-filled church. It's a church that joined the Holy Spirit. It's a church that allowed the Holy Spirit to work in and through them. And what's the name of this church? It's the Church of Antioch. The Church of Antioch. Now, I want to give you some facts. What do we know about this very special church? First, it's located in a major city. At that time, there were only two cities that were bigger than this church, the Church of Antioch. So it's located in a very busy, important city. And then, due to its location, it was surrounded by pagan and immoral practices. Pagan and immoral practices. Number three, it's also a church of genuine faith. Genuine faith. Verse 26, it tells us, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, the word Christian comes from two words, Christ, eons, right? Christ, once. And the society at that time, they observed the believers in this church, and they saw that they were trying to be like Christ. And so they gave them a nickname called Christ Once, Christ Ians. What does that tell us? They were a church, a group of people with genuine faith. Another thing that was very unique about this church is that this church possessed unity. Unity in diversity. Now, the Bible scholars, they point out that none of the names that were mentioned, the people that went to this church, were from Antioch. In fact, they were from other regions in this area. Look at the next slide. Countries like Cyrene, Cyprus, North Africa, Turkey, Jerusalem, made up of people from other regions. And so, although their backgrounds are totally different, cultures were different, yet they were unified. They were one under Christ. There was no division. There was unity in diversity. Another characteristic is that they were blessed by God. Verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, three times in today's passage that we're going to look at, three times you see this short phrase, great number of people, great number of people, great number of people. The Lord kept adding people to their midst. Now, it was a church greatly used by God. And if we were to talk to the people that went to that church, what made your church so special? What made your church so special? You know what they would tell you? They would tell you that, I guess the hand of God is upon us. The hand of God is upon our church. Their church blessed by God. Lastly, it was a church that was a blessing to others. Verse 26, it tells us that as soon as they heard that there was a famine that would fall upon Jerusalem, immediately they gather up goods, resources, and they sent it to Jerusalem. It also tells us that this is a church that was responsible for pioneering the early Christian missions at that time. They were a church that was responsible for the three missionary journeys that we read about in the book of Acts that really just changed the entire Roman Empire. Okay, so that's the characteristics. Now, I want us to take a look and look at this slide, right? All these things about the Church of Antioch. Isn't that the church that we strive to be? I mean, think about that, right? Located in a prominent city, and it was, although surrounded by pagan and immoral practices, it's a church of genuine faith. The light of Jesus shined through them, right? Through us. And we want to be unity, have unity, even though we may come from different parts of the world. We want to be blessed by God. And because we're so blessed by God, we want to be a blessing to others. This was a church that was led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we think of church, we think of a location. We think of a building. But we often forget that the church is really made up of people like you and me, right? And so today, instead of looking at the Church of Antioch as in general, I want us to look at the people that went to Antioch. I want us to look at especially a person that God used to make this church so great. What's his name? His name is, and this is the focal, we're going to focus on this person today, Barnabas. His name is Barnabas. Now, if Barnabas was here, he would feel very uncomfortable that we're talking about him today. This verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 36 says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas was not his real name. Barnabas was his nickname. His real name is Joseph. His name is Joseph. If Barnabas was here today, he would say, "Oh, just call me Joe, right? Because I am an average Joe. I'm average Joe. I am a nobody. I am average. Just call me Joe." And the apostles, as they interacted and got to know Joe, they said, "You know what? Your nickname is Barnabas." And what does that mean? It tells us here, the son of encouragement. Now, this word encouragement came from a Greek word. Let's look at the next slide. It came from a Greek word called paraclete. Paraclete, which is mostly used in the context of, and this is so great, the context of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's a word that describes what the Holy Spirit does. In other words, Barnabas was a man who was led by the Holy Spirit. It's a man that joined the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a man that allowed the Holy Spirit to work in and through his life. Barnabas, a Spirit-filled man. And so today, as we look at Barnabas, I want us to ask the question, so what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? So what does the characteristics of a man who joined the work of the Holy Spirit? So with that in mind, I want us to read today's passage, only a few verses, Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. I'd like to invite us to first read it in English and then in Mandarin, all right? So verse 22. News of this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. 22节, 这风声传到耶路撒冷。 教会人的耳中，他们就打发巴拿巴出去，走到安提阿为止。他到了那里，看见神所赐的恩，就欢喜，劝勉众人立定心志，恒久靠主。这巴拿巴原是个好人，被圣灵充满，大有信心。于是有许多人归服了主。 找到了，就带他到安提阿去。他们只有一年的功夫，和教会一同聚集，教训了许多人。门徒称为基督徒，是从安提阿起所。May God bless the reading of His word. So, what does a Spirit-led person look like? Number one, he is able to see God working in the lives of others. Verse 23 says, and when Barnabas arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. He was so happy. Now imagine, the church of Antioch was a baby church. It was a church full of new believers, brand new believers, young believers, baby Christians. Really didn't know anything about Christianity, all these people. They just knew about the simple gospel. They were rough around the edges. They must be a lot of imperfections. But see, when he came to Antioch and he saw them, he rejoiced. Why? Because, the Bible tells us, because he was able to see not their imperfections, but he was able to see what God is doing in their lives. He was able to see God's grace, right? God's grace in their lives. It's kind of like this picture. The picture of embers in the midst of ashes. A Spirit-led person has the ability to see the embers of God's grace while others see ashes of imperfections, right? And that's exactly what the apostle Barnabas saw in the church of Antioch. And this is a transition right here. That's exactly what Barnabas saw in Paul. In Paul. See, Paul had a history, didn't he? Paul had a history. Paul used to persecute Christians. He used to be the Christians' enemy. But you know the story. Jesus appeared to Paul. Jesus converted Paul. Paul became a Christian. But you know what? Just because he became a Christian does not mean other Christians want to be around him. Because Paul had a history. But let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26, 27. Look at what happened. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple of Jesus. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey has seen the Lord and that the Lord has spoken to him, and how in Damascus Paul had preached fiercely in the name of Jesus. You see, while others saw imperfections in Paul and Paul's failures, Barnabas saw embers, little embers of God's grace. He saw God's work in Paul's life. Now, Barnabas did not just do that with Paul. He did that with another person that we all know from the Bible. His name? John Mark. John Mark. Let me tell you about him. Look at this passage. Let's see what happened. Acts 15, 36 to 38. Sometimes later, let's look at the next slide. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it's wise to take him because John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. See, what happened here was that John Mark was on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, but halfway through it, it got too hard or something, and John Mark says, "You know what? I'm going home. See ya. I don't want to do this anymore. Bye-bye." Well, later on, Paul and Barnabas were about to go on another missionary journey, and John Mark says, "Can I go with you?" Paul says, "No, you're not going. You can't go. I don't want to go with you. I don't want you to come with us." What did Barnabas say? "I'll take him. I'll take John Mark." See, Paul saw human imperfections, past failures in John Mark. But Barnabas saw embers of God's grace. Oh, we need people like that in our lives. While there's a lot of human imperfections in our lives, we need people to see what God is doing in our life. We need people to see God's grace in our lives. We need that sort of encouragement. People, when they're like that to us, they breathe life into us. They change us. They encourage us to motivate us to be who God wants us to be. I love this verse. I mean, this statement here by D.L. Moody. "People have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be." How many husbands want to say amen? No, that's just, okay. When we encourage, right, when we encourage people, we focus on what God is doing in their lives. Some of you may be asking, so what happened to John Mark? What happened to this guy, John Mark? Well, thanks to Barnabas, this once upon a time, a quitter, a failure, John Mark later on became one of the writers of the Bible. What is his name? We call him Mark, the one who wrote the book of Mark. Can you believe that? What a redeeming story, right? Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." This verse tells us that God is working in our lives, every one of us. God is working our lives, and He is not done yet. He is not done yet. Nobody's perfect here. It's kind of like this picture, work in progress, right? Everyone here, God is working in our lives, and we're not there yet. God is working. We are all work in progress. But hey, have you had times when you are halfway through a project and somebody comes along and judges you on what you've done? You're like, no, I'm not done yet, right? Don't judge me. I'm not done yet. I don't know about you, but when I'm supposed to clean a room, it's really messy, right? When you clean a room, it becomes messier because you take everything down, right? And I hate it when somebody comes and says, "What have you done? What have you done to this place?" I said, no, I am not done yet, right? I am not done yet. And it's not fair for us to come to people whom God has not done yet, and we label them. We judge them, right? We say things like, "You always do that. You never do that," right? We give them a label. "Here you go again," right? We judge them. How would we answer this question? Do we believe that God changes people? Yes or no? Do we believe that? Yes, right? All of us would say, "Oh yeah, God believes people." But how would we answer this question? Do we believe that God changes the people in our lives, the people around us that we've known for a long time? See, sometimes we give up hope on the people around us because we think we know them too well. They're not going to change. And we give up hope on them, right? But we have to remember, no, they are work in progress. God is not done with them yet. May God help us, give us that special vision, that ability to see people from God's perspective, to see God's grace in their lives. That's what a Spirit-led person would do. The second characteristic of a Spirit person is this, that he or she wants to see people succeed. I love this point. Who was Barnabas? At this point, Barnabas was well established in this Christian circle. He had a good reputation. He was well trusted by the people around him, by the church of Antioch. So let's see what he did. Verse 25. "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch." Do you see what Barnabas was doing? It's a beautiful picture of someone who is well established, who is prominent, going out of his way to help this nobody, which is Paul at this time. See, that's why Barnabas is called the son of encourager. Edifies. He edifies people. He lifts up people. He builds people up. I want you to see the next few verses I'm going to show you. And I want you to see the change that takes place here, all right? Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26. "But Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles," all right? So Barnabas, he went out and he took Saul and he brought them to the apostles. And because of Saul, right, because Saul's journey, I mean, we know the history. Nobody wanted to be with Saul at this time. But Barnabas said, no, it's okay. Let me explain what happened to him. And so because of what Barnabas did, now there's a change now. I want you to see the change. Acts 11, verse 30. This they did, send their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Oh, now it's not just Barnabas now. Do you see how they have become a team now? Saul has risen in the Christian circle. He's slowly to gain trust from God's people. The change here because of what Barnabas did. Acts 12, verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul have finished their mission, they return from Jerusalem. All right, Barnabas and Saul, and then keep going. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You see that now? He has risen. Saul has risen. Now, I want you to see a change that's coming up. Because Barnabas had invested in Saul and allowed him to continue to grow in his faith and continue to flourish. See what happened. Acts chapter 13. Many of the Jews had devout converts to Judaism follow Paul and Barnabas. You see the change? Now, the person of Paul or Saul, he is before Barnabas now. Up to this point, it was always Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, but now it's Saul or Paul. You know, God has worked in his life and Barnabas. Another verse, Acts chapter 15. But Paul and Barnabas remain in Antioch, where they have many others taught others, preach the word of the Lord. Paul continued to grow in his influence as a Christian leader, and God used him more and more. He became more prominent to the point. Look at this next verse, Acts 16, verse 10. When Paul has seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. Wait, where did Barnabas go? You see the change? Barnabas, we don't see Barnabas anymore. It started out with Barnabas going out to search for Paul when nobody wanted to. When it started with Barnabas investing in Paul. But now Paul overshadowed Barnabas. And now to the point where Barnabas disappeared from the picture. That is a true encourager. Who says to you, I believe in you, I'm going to invest in you, I want you to be successful. I want you to be so successful that you are more successful than I've ever accomplished. And I'll do whatever I can to help you. You know, a true encourager is like seasoning that we put in our food when we're cooking, right? You don't really see the seasoning, but they're so important. In my family, I have 5 girls. We are meat lovers. I mean, we eat meat. Sorry to the vegetarians here, but we love meat. We cannot understand when people you invited to weddings and they ask you if you want steak, salmon, or salad. Come on now. What are you thinking, right? Of course. Of course. The answer is clear. Well, our girls, they love a good steak. A good steak. Well, a few times as a family, we would go out to expensive steak restaurants. Very expensive, right? You guys been to steak restaurants? Very expensive, very fancy. Our girls would always, at the end, would always somehow come back to me and say, Daddy, yours is better. Yours is better. See, I have a secret. This is how I prepare my steak. A day or two before, I would put this kind of season, Montreal steak seasoning. I would put it a day or two before and just let it sit. And let the seasoning just penetrate to the entire steak. And then when I make it and serve it, my girls, they love it. Mwah. Love it, right? But have you noticed that when you enjoy something really good, when you enjoy a really good dish, you never say, oh, that is good seasoning, right? You don't say that, oh, that's good salt and pepper. What? No, you never say that. The seasoning is there to bring out the flavor, but they are not there to get the attention. That's what I'm trying to say. The seasoning is like the encouragers in our lives. The encouragers, they bring out the flavor in our lives. They make us look good, but they don't get the credit. They are there to lift us up. By the way, it's hard to lift up others when you try to lift yourself up at the same time. You can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot be an encourager if you are self-centered, if you are a jealous person. I mean, we all have jealous people in our lives, right? You cannot share good news with them because they're going to be jealous of you. They're not going to be happy for you. They don't have your best interests at heart. But encouragers, they are the opposite. They genuinely want the best for you. They want to see you succeed. And may God help us as a church that we have that kind of attitude. Lastly, number three, a spirit-led person longs to see people grow in Christ. Look at what Barnabas did when he came to Antioch. Verse 23, he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Nothing fancy, nothing extraordinary. He simply came alongside of them and to encourage them. And he says to them, keep going. Continue on the good work. Hang in there. Don't give up. Keep going. A spirit-filled person is not fancy. He is not there to draw attention to him or herself, but they are there to help you, to journey with you, and to point you to Jesus. That is the most important thing. As encouragers, they are there to point you to Jesus. I want to show you a verse, John chapter 14, verse 16. This is Jesus when he was about to leave his disciples. He told them, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, and he used this Greek word, paraclete. He will give you this paraclete to help you and to be with you forever. And Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. And that makes sense because that's the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. That's his job. His job is to come alongside of us, to encourage us, and point us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate encourager who's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's there to journey with us throughout this Christian life, and he is there to point us, to direct our attention to Jesus and to grow in Jesus. That's what a spirit-led person would do as well. Brothers and sisters, do you have encouragers in your life as well. People like that who comes alongside you and to point you to Jesus. Thank God for those people. Amen. Thank God for brothers and sisters like that in the church community. We are so thankful for the example of Barnabas, because the church, it would serve the church so well if we have more and more Barnabases. And let's be like that. Let's join the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's follow what he's working, and allow him to work in and through us. And I know that as we do that, we will really become a true light in darkness, and that we will shine God's light and point people to Jesus. That's what God has called every one of us to do. May God help us to do that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to see Jesus. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So often we get so discouraged, we want to give up, but the Holy Spirit encourages us to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray that as all of us who are your people, help us that we as well, that we will have that characteristic of the Holy Spirit, that we too would come alongside others, and that we would encourage them, and that we would journey alongside of them, and that we will learn to point them to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to do just that. Thank you for speaking to us today. Even though the message is over, may the Holy Spirit continue to speak this message into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.